The main gate to the street was closed again. It had rolled back into place with a loud, shrieking sound after the last fire truck was through, and then it had slammed shut with an impact that had sent a shudder through the roll of concertina wire welded to its top rail. The guard was still in his shack. His silhouette was clear behind the glass. The light above his head was spilling out in a soft 20-foot circle, perfectly round, broken only by 4 bars of shadow from the window frames. Beyond the main building, the security guys were still looking for something. Lamazon had 4 of them formed up for a briefing. He split them into 2 pairs and sent them off to check the fence, 1 pair clockwise, the other counterclockwise. Each pair walked slowly, parallel to the boundary, scuffing the grass with their feet, looking down, looking up, looking at the wire. 150 yards away, Reacher rolled onto his back, checked the sky. It was close to full dark. The smog that was tan by day was now dull black, like a blanket. There was no moon. No light at all except the last imperceptible tint of daylight and a little orange scatter from the city's lights. Reacher rolled onto his front again. The security guys were still in pairs and moving slow. Lamazon was stepping back into the main building. Parker and Lennox were nowhere to be seen. Inside already, Reacher guessed. He watched the searchers, first one pair, then the other, 2 different directions. The clockwise guys were Nagley's. The counterclockwise guys were his. They had about 150 yards to cover before they got anywhere near him, a little over 4 minutes at their current pace. They were concentrating on the fence and a strip maybe 15 feet wide just inside it, like the warning track around a baseball field. They had no flashlights. They were searching by feel alone. They would have to fall over something to find it. Reacher crawled 20 yards inward, found a dip behind a hummock in the grass, and pressed himself down into it. No man's land. The property covered about 2 acres, which was 9,680 square yards. Reacher occupied roughly 2 of them. Nagley, roughly the same. 4 square yards out of 9,680. Odds of 1 in 2,420 against being randomly discovered. If they stayed still and quiet, that was. Which Reacher couldn't afford to do. Because the clock in his head had ticked around to the 2-hour mark. He got up on his elbows and pulled out his phone and dialed Dixon's cell. Chapter 74. More than 100 yards away, Lamazon answered the call. Reacher kept his thumb over the phone's bright LCD window. He wanted to preserve his night vision, and he didn't want the searchers to look up and see a tiny, disembodied face bathed in a distant blue glow. He spoke as normally as he dared. "We're stuck on the 210, he said. "There's a stalled car up ahead." "Bullshit," Lamazon said. "You're right here in the neighborhood. You've been throwing gasoline bombs over my fence." His voice was loud and angry. Over the cellular circuits, it came through edgy and penetrating, a little grating and distorted. Reacher slipped the pad of his index finger over the earpiece perforations and glanced up at the searchers. They were 120 yards away. They hadn't reacted. "What bombs?" he said into the phone. "You heard me. We're on the freeway. I have no idea what you're talking about." "Bullshit, Reacher. You're right here. You started a fire. But it was pathetic. It took them all of 5 minutes to put it out. I'm sure you saw them do it."
8 minutes, actually, Reacher thought. Give me some damn credit.
But he said nothing, just watched his pair of searchers. They were 110 yards away.
"The deal is off," Lamazon said.
"Wait,"
Reacher said. "I'm still thinking about the deal, but I'm not an idiot. I want a proof of life. You could have shot them already."
"They're still alive.
Prove it."
"How?"
"I'll call you when we're through this traffic. You can bring them to the gate."
"No way. They stay where they are."
"Then we can't do business."
Lamazon said, "I'll ask them a question for you."
The searchers were 90 yards away.
"What question?"
"Think of a question only they can answer."
We'll ask them and call you back.
I'll call you back. I don't answer the phone when I'm driving.
You're not driving. What's the question?
Reacher said, ask them who they were with before they joined the 110th MP. Then he clicked the phone off and put it back in his pocket. The searchers were about 70 yards away. Reacher crawled another 20 yards inward, slow and cautious, parallel with the fence. The searchers managed another 10 yards while he was doing it. Now they were 40 yards away, coming on slowly, 5 feet apart, scuffing the grass, peering outward at the fence, checking for breaches. Reacher saw light at the front of the main building, the door opening. A tall shape stepped out. Parker, probably. He closed the door behind him and hustled around the near gable wall and headed for the distant shack 30 yards away. He unlocked the door and went in, and less than a minute later he came back out and locked up again. The prison, Reacher thought. Thank you. The searchers were 20 yards away. 18 1/4 meters, 60 feet, 720 inches, 1.13% of a mile. Reacher shuffled ahead a little and closed the gap. The searchers stumbled on. Now they were 10 yards ahead on a diagonal, maybe 8 yards to Reacher's left. His phone vibrated in his pocket. He hauled it out and cupped it in his hand. The caller ID said Dixon, which meant Lamazon. The answers to his question, recently relayed by Parker. I said I'd call you, Reacher thought. Can't talk now. He jammed the phone back in his pocket and waited. The searchers were almost dead level with him, 8 yards to his left. They moved on. Reacher squirmed around, a silent half-circle on the ground. The searchers walked on. Reacher completed the circle. Now he was behind them. He got silently to his feet, took short, quiet strides, stepping high to keep his soles from brushing the grass with telltale rustles. He fell in behind the two guys, 10 feet back, then 8, then 6, centered exactly between them. They were a decent size, maybe 6'2", 210, pale and meaty, blue suits, white shirts, crew cuts, broad shoulders, thick necks. He hit the first guy with a massive straight right, dead center in the back of the neck, 250 pounds, and days of rage behind the blow. The guy's neck snapped forward and his skull snapped back and bounced straight off Reacher's fist and smashed forward again until his chin smacked his chest. Whiplash, like a crash test dummy rear-ended by a speeding truck. The guy went straight down in a heap, and his buddy turned toward him in shock, and Reacher danced through a short shuffle step and head-butted him full in the face. He knew it was a great one by the sound alone. Bone, gristle, muscle, flesh, the unmistakable crunch of serious damage. The guy stayed vertical but unconscious for a second, and then went down flat. Reacher rolled the first guy on his back and sat on his chest and pinched his nose with one hand and blocked his mouth with his other palm. Then he waited until the guy suffocated. It didn't take long. Less than a minute. Then he did the same thing with the other guy. Another minute. Then he checked their pockets. The first guy had a cell phone and a gun and a wallet full of cash money and credit cards. Reacher took the gun and the cash money, left the cell phone and the credit cards. The gun was a SIG P226, 9mm. The cash money was a little less than $200. The second guy had another phone, another SIG, another wallet, plus Dave O'Donnell's ceramic knuckle duster. It was right there in his jacket pocket, either a reward for good work at the hospital takedown or a stolen souvenir, spoils of war. Reacher put it in his own pocket and jammed the SIGs in his waistband and the cash in his back pocket. Then he wiped his hands on the second guy's jacket and crawled away, low and fast, peering into the dark where he imagined Nagley to be. He had heard nothing from that direction, nothing at all. But he wasn't worried. Nagley against two guys in the dark was about as reliable as the sun setting in the west. He found another broad dip in the grass and lay down on his elbows and pulled out his phone, called Dixon's number.
Where the hell were you?
Lamazon asked him.
I told you, Reacher said. I don't pick up when I'm driving. You're not driving.
So why didn't I pick up?
Whatever. Where are you now?
Close by.
Before the 110th, Dixon says she was with the 53rd MP, and O'Donnell says he was with the 131st.
Okay, Reacher said. I'll call you back in 10, when we arrive. He clicked off and sat up cross-legged in the dirt. He had his proof-of-life answers. Only problem was, neither one of them was even remotely true. Chapter 75. Reacher crawled south through the grass, looking for Nagley in the dark. He made it through 50 fast yards and found a corpse instead. He blundered right into it, hands and then knees. It was a man, cooling fast, blue suit, white shirt, broken neck.
Nagley,
he whispered.
Here,
she whispered back. She was 20 feet away, lying on her side, propped up on one elbow.
You okay?
Feeling good.
Was there another one?
Behind you, to your right.
Reacher turned. Same kind of guy, same kind of suit, same kind of shirt, same kind of injury.
Any problems?
Easy. And quieter than you. I heard that headbutt all the way over here.
They bumped fists in the dark, the old ritual, about as much physical contact as she liked to permit.
Lamazon thinks we're on the outside looking in, Reacher said. He's trying to scam us with a deal. If we surrender, they'll lock us all up for a week and then let us go when the heat dies down.
Like we'd believe that.
One of my guys had Dave's knuckle duster.
That's not a good sign.
They're okay so far. I asked for a proof of life. Personal questions. Dixon says she was with the 53rd MP and O'Donnell says he was with the 131st.
That's bullshit. There was no 53rd MP. And Dave was posted to the 110th straight out of officer candidate school.
They're talking to us, Reacher said. 53 is a prime number. Carlin knew I'd pick up on that.
So?
5 and 3 make 8. She's telling us there are 8 hostiles.
4 left, then.
Lennox, Parker, and Lamazon. Plus 1. Who's the 4th?
That's Dave's message. He's a words guy. 131. 13th letter of the alphabet, 1st letter of the alphabet.
M and A, Nagley said.
Mawney. Curtis Mawney is here.
Excellent, Nagley said. Saves hunting him down later.
They bumped fists again. Then cell phones started to ring, loud and piercing and insistent. Two of them. Different tones, unsynchronized, one each in the dead guy's pockets. Reacher had no doubt at all the same thing was happening 50 yards away. 2 more dead guys, 2 more pockets, 2 more ringing phones. A conference call. Lamazon was touching base with his foot patrol. Something unpredictable. The phones rang 6 times each and stopped. Silence came back.
What would you do now, Reacher asked, if you were Lamazon?
Nagley said, I'd get guys in those Chryslers and turn the headlights on bright and fix myself a little motor patrol. I'd run us down in less than a minute.
Reacher nodded. Against a man on foot, the lot felt big. Against a car, it would feel small. Against more than one car, it would feel tiny. In the dark, it felt safe. With xenon beams blazing away, it would feel like a goldfish bowl. He pictured cars bouncing over the rough ground, pictured himself trapped in their lights, darting left, darting right, shading his eyes, one car chasing, 2 cars converging. He glanced at the fence.
Correct, Nagley said. The fence keeps us in just as well as it kept us out. We're 2 balls on a pool table and someone's about to turn on the lights and pick up a cue.
What are they going to do if they don't find us?
Oh, they're not going to find us.
Suppose. Nagley shrugged and said,
they're going to assume we got out somehow.
And then?
They're going to panic.
How?
They're going to kill Carla and Dave and hunker down.
Reacher nodded. That's my guess, too.
He got up and ran.
Nagley followed.